Jennifer Love Hewitt. Now, Brie, you're going to have to hear this, okay?
I like this story.
No, but you're going to have to hear this part.
Oh.
If you would have asked 17, 18-year-old Jerry growing up in Brooklyn, like, who my favorite actress was, I guess you would say, like, my crush. Yeah. We've all had it at that. Every guy my age had a huge crush on Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm talking, this was like in, you know, Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
I Know What You Did Last Summer 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Party of Five. Just all of it. Like, that was like the one girl. Lily loves to sit. I'm sorry. The cat, Lily, just loves to sit on my notebook. It's like she's giving me a test. Like, let's see if you could do this podcast without your notes. I can't see any of my notes. But Jennifer Love Hewitt was the one girl that I would have loved to have met. And yeah, she was my crush. But also, like, not in like a creepy way. Like, I just thought she was cool. I loved all the movies she was doing. So anyway, you know, I moved out to LA a few years after that, you know, 20 years old, and, you know, working the job in the restaurant, grinding at Boston Market, actually grinding out auditions and stuff like that. And there was a couple of times where I would always see this girl driving around, and I don't know, for some reason, like, I always get glimpses, be like, wow, that looks just like Jennifer Love Hewitt, but it's not going to be Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like, there's just no way that doesn't happen. I didn't know that in LA, that's exactly what happens. And then there was one time, I want to say it was like at a McDonald's drive-thru. My roommate and I got a clear, definitive look that it was Jennifer Love Hewitt. And that was kind of like the car I kept seeing. So it was confirmed that Jennifer Love Hewitt was nearby. And I saw her. And that was cool enough for me right there. Like, oh, wow, I got to see her. Like, that's cool. I got a glimpse of Jennifer Love Hewitt. Well, the story gets bigger. And again, this is 15 years ago, so some of the details are as I remember them. I might not be 100% accurate on them, but they're pretty damn close. She had...
Isn't it funny how you, like, remember things the way you want to?
I guess so. Like I said, like, I don't think, like, I'm, like, skewing the story completely wrong, but I do know I'm definitely probably glossing over some stuff, or maybe I'm, like... Like, it might not have been McDonald's. It might have been Burger King, you know, stuff like that. It was either, I think it maybe was Kobe Bryant had a charity. And Kobe Bryant, this is like his rookie or second year. He's 20 years old. Had a charity bowling night. Now, again, guys, I'm working in a restaurant. Like, nobody knows who I am at this point. We actually, like, bought tickets to watch this bowling event. And at the time, I had three really close friends of mine from Brooklyn, along with my roommate, who I was like, they're out visiting me. You know, this is like their first, this is the first time anyone from back home's come out to see me. So they're seeing LA for the first time. And I'm also like, I'm not even 21. We're not even like legal age to drink yet. And that will come back later in the story. So we show up. We, like, watched all the red carpet. Like, Shaq rolled up in, like, a motorcycle. Kobe Bryant came in. Kobe still had kind of, like, the half-fro thing going on. And sure enough, Jennifer Love Hewitt just happened to attend the event. And so we go and we watch, like, this bowling thing. And it's fun. It's cute. And somehow, some way, we leave the event. And my friends are very, like, just, like, laughing. I don't know why. And again, we were kids. And we're on the way home, and I'm like, what the fuck are you guys, like, laughing about? They're like, we wrote a letter to Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I don't know if they, like gave it to her or, like, gave it to someone she was with or whatever. Somehow they got this letter to her. This is how I remember the story. And I was like, well, what's in the letter? They just wrote, oh, we just wrote how much, you know, we loved her. And, like, we're, you know, three guys from Brooklyn and we'd love to meet her. And we just think she's cool. And we put your house number, it was before cell phones. We put your house number on the letter. And I said, son of a bitch. I got so mad. Because immediately I'm like, first off, that's creepy. Straight up. Like, you left a letter for her with my phone number on it. Guys, like, I gotta live here, man. I made such a big fuss. I'm like, I have to live here. Like, she can call the cops because she might think this is, like, some stalker shit. Why would you do this? And they're like, they're saying, like, why are you so upset? Like, it was, like, positive. We were telling her that, like, we think she's the shit. Like, calm down. I'm like, no, no. fuck that. You know what? You guys need to leave soon. I was really trying to get them to go back to Brooklyn. I'm like, don't ever do anything like that again. That's terrible. I gotta live here, not you. Whatever. Day or two goes by. One morning, I had the morning shift at Boston Market. And I wake up and I just gotten out of the shower. I remember, this is a specific memory. I was in a towel and my home phone rang, my apartment phone. Everyone else was knocked out, sleeping on the floor, the couch, whatever. I answer the phone and I say, hello. And I just hear a female voice go, hi, can I speak to Mike, Vinny, Dennis, or Jerry? Which is all my friends' names. And I say, this is Jerry. Who's this? And the female voice says, this is Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I think my reaction was, get the fuck out of here. This ain't Jennifer Love Hewitt. And she laughed and she goes, no, really, it is. This is Jennifer Love Hewitt. I said, seriously, who is this? Who's playing this joke on me? I thought maybe it was like one of my cousins back home. And then I'm starting to hear the voice and I'm like, holy shit, this is her. I said, okay, this is Jerry. She's like, I got your letter, guys. And I have to say, it was really, really sweet. It kind of made my day. I was having a bad day and I read it and it made me smile. And I'm like, well, you know, that's why we wrote it. I'm immediately taking credit for the letter that I had nothing to do with, that I hated that they wrote. I said, well, you know, that's what we figured it would make your day. That's what we did. She said, yeah, it was very sweet. And I would love to meet you guys. You took the time to write that letter. What's the rest of your day like? Are you free? And I'm like, yeah. Little did she know, I'm putting on my blue button down and black slacks for Boston Market. I said, yeah, we're free. She said, why don't you guys come by my house and, we could like take some pictures and I'd love to meet you guys. So I wrote her address down. I don't remember whatever the time was. I hung up the phone. I wake up the guys. I'm like, guys, you're not going to believe what happened. I tell them everything. Do you want to know what they say to me, Bree? They say, Jerry, you can't come. I'm like, what do you mean I can't come? They're like, well, you didn't want to put your name on the letter and you thought the letter was such a bad idea. You know what? Just for that, you can't come. Well, I'm like, guess what, guys? I got her address, so I'm coming. I will not give up the address unless I could come. But then I also had to basically call in the Boston Market and I had to fake an illness. I think I told them I had the flu, similar to Morgan Freeman. And I said, I cannot come in today. Sorry, I'm really sick. So they let me off of work. And I think we all took very long showers and put on our Sunday best. I think we all probably used a lot of cologne, probably Dracar, if memory serves me correct, or maybe a little cool water. And we set off on our meeting with Jennifer Love Hewitt. So me and the fellas put on our Sunday best. We cologned up. As Brett Ernst said, we put on a lot of DiGio. And we drove on over to Jennifer Love Hewitt's house. We rang the bell. Now, I am still convinced, and I have no evidence, and I have never asked Jennifer Love Hewitt this question because I don't know Jennifer Love Hewitt like that. I am convinced that she did have security in a back room, kind of like Dateline, and like just waiting to see if we were total nut jobs and at any moment we were going to be tasered. But again, as memory serves me correctly, her mom answered the door and greeted us, and she was totally cool and charming and absolutely hilarious and was like getting a kick out of these four kids from Brooklyn who basically were dying to meet her daughter. And then it happened. And I guess this is why Jennifer Love Hewitt is an actress and a movie star, because this was a moment, okay? We're talking to her mom, and then from atop the steps, and I want to say it was like a half spiral staircase, it kind of like winded down a little bit, she just emerged looking fantastic. Sorry, Brie, deal with it.
No, I like
looking
this.
Fantastic. And I don't know what happened, but it just turned into slow motion. I didn't know real life can turn into slow motion, but it does, guys. All those shots you see in movies where like the girl comes out of the water or comes walking down the steps in slow motion, that's what happened. It took her about 98 seconds to come down the steps in slow motion. Her hair was flowing. She was smiling. I want to say she made eye contact with me specifically, but that definitely was not the case. And she came down and introduced herself to all of us. And I think we were at this point all doing our best to totally not freak out. And we took some pictures with her, hung out, laughed a lot. We were probably there for like 30 minutes. No security came out and tased us. So I guess that means that she thought that we were cool. And, you know, I just never forget when we left, she kind of said to me and to all of us, like, you know, I really did enjoy meeting you guys. I meant it when I said on the phone, like, you guys made my day. And I'm still thinking, like, there's no way that four meatheads from Brooklyn could have made her day. But and then she kind of said, you know, I hope to see you guys around. I'm like, okay, we're best friends now. This is amazing. And we left and the guys were totally giving me a lot of shit because I was so against that letter. And then we had this like once in a lifetime. Again, guys, remember, we're 20 years old. This is before Instagram. Do you know how fast that picture would have been on Instagram?
You got to find that
picture. The sad thing is I really don't know where that picture is. Like, I have the picture from that day. I got to try to find it because that would be epic to find. Mm-hmm. I don't know if my mom has it or what. I don't know who has it. I got to try to find it. So, you know, we left there riding totally high. It was a great time. You know, my friends ended up staying for a while. You know, but, you know, time goes on. Life moves on. My friends went back to Brooklyn. I'm, you know, back in the restaurant grinding it out. And, you know, I now have a cool story about an actress, right? It gets better. One day, and again, this is in 2000. So I'd only been in LA at this point 6 months and not a lot of friends. I am at, I think it's Virgin Record Store. Was that what it is? Where'd you used to go buy CDs? Or maybe it was Amoeba?
I thought it was...
It was someplace, it wasn't in Hollywood, I'm not going to say where it was. It was either a Virgin Record Store or an Amoeba store or whatever. But I went to go buy some CDs. Lord knows, I don't remember what I was trying to buy. And I'm walking around, you know, I would spend hours in CD stores and, you know, video stores and stuff like that. That's how I, like, killed a lot of time. And I want to say I literally was, like, looking at stuff and, like, I bumped into someone because I was looking at the CDs and I look up. And I see this girl kind of like smiling at me, but also like not trying to make direct eye contact. We just bumped into each other. And who do you think it is, Bri? What kind of a story would it be if it wasn't Jennifer Love Hewitt? And I have to then, again, quiet that voice inside me that was like, oh my God, it's Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like, hey, hey, how are you? And I could see her kind of processing because it was probably, this is maybe 2 or 3 months later, but 2 or 3 months in Jennifer Love Hewitt time is a lot different than 2 or 3 months in my time. Like, she probably shot like 97 episodes of her television show and did 2 movies. So I see her kind of processing who I am, where do I know this guy? And I say, you remember me and Mike and Vinny, like we came to your house, and she said, oh yeah, the Brooklyn guy. How are you? How are your friends doing? I said, you know, well, they went back home and it's just me. And we talked for a little while, and then she actually said, hey, could you give me some help? I can't find this CD. And again, this is so current for the era. This song was brand new. She's like, I'm looking for this song. Like, everybody is like, loves it. Like, Outkast. Miss Jackson. It's like brand new.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Like, I want to say it was like the release day. I think she was like buying the CD for someone else. I'm like, oh, Miss Jackson? Who? Let me show you. So I continued to kind of go CD shopping with her for the next 10 minutes. And then, you know, I didn't want to linger too long. So 20-year-old me, I still very much had the sense of when to leave a conversation. So I was starting to plan my exit. And this was in November. And she said, you know, I know you just moved here. Are you going home for Thanksgiving to see your family? And I said, no, you know, I think I might have said, like, I don't know if I said I couldn't afford a plane ticket. I think I said something like, I couldn't get like a plane ticket for like a good price. So I'm just going to stay here. You know, I have a roommate who's also going to, you know, be here. And she's like, well, what are you guys going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I work at Boston Market. We'll probably get some turkey from Boston Market. Or maybe we'll just go out to dinner somewhere. I think we had like one or two other friends because we'd only been there for like 4, 5, 6 months. And she's like, you can't spend Thanksgiving that way. I said, well, don't really have a choice, Jennifer Love Hewitt. And also, I said, it's kind of like messed up. My birthday happened to be like the net. My birthday is November 25th. I think it was falling on a Friday. So it was the day after Thanksgiving. And she said, no, I can't have this. I would love for you to come over and be a guest. Come to my house for Thanksgiving and spend it with my family. And I went, yeah. She said, you know what? Bring your roommate too. I wouldn't want to like leave him out of it. You know, bring your roommate too. The two of you guys come have Thanksgiving dinner at my house. And I went, okay. She's like, you remember where I live, right? I said, yeah. She said, well, all right, just in case. And I, Brie, I swear to you, this is the way it happened. Because I remember this detail specifically. Jennifer Love Hewitt took my sweaty Italian hand and took out a pen from her bag and wrote her number on my hand. I think she might have even just put love. I don't even know if she put like Jennifer Love or JL. I think she just put love and wrote her number on my hand and said, I'll see you what there. And I think I even said something like my smooth line was like, I'm like, oh my God, wow, no girls ever wrote their number on my hand. And I think she gave me a look. She's like, please, I don't believe that for 1 second. I'm like, oh my god, that was my first attempt at flirting with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and she did not take the bait. She leaves. I waited a good 2 minutes to collect myself, make sure I wasn't sweating off the number, and then I ran out to my roommate's car because I think my roommate was in another store, and I didn't have a car at that point, so he drove me to the CD store. And I filled him in. I'm like, dude, oh my God, this is the craziest thing ever. And I did think for a minute, like, maybe I shouldn't invite him. Maybe I shouldn't tell him the part and maybe just tell her she went home. But I said that would have been really dirty. So, yeah, I got this invite. I remember I even told my mom. My mom thought it was, like, the sweetest thing because she knew I was, like, going to not be alone on Thanksgiving. My mom has a special place in her heart for Jennifer Love Hewitt, even. And then all the stress of like, well, what do we bring? You know, we don't cook. Do we go get a pie? Do we go get a cake? Do we bring dessert?
Yeah, what did
do
you
we bring,
bring
wine? I'm not, by the way, I'm not even 21. I can't even buy wine. I think we got...
you had your ways.
No, my roommate, I think, worked at a restaurant called Stanley's in like Sherman Oaks, which is a good restaurant. And they have a sort of famous like chocolate chip cookie dough pie. So I think like he just grabbed one of those from work, and we were just counting down the days because it was like a week away. And I was just so nervous, like, what's Jennifer Love Hewitt's house gonna be like? I was in the house already, but like Thanksgiving, like, we're gonna be there for like 6 hours, you know. And we get the cake, and we again put on our Sunday best to go to Jennifer Love Hewitt's house. I think I even might have bought a new shirt for the occasion. Like, I don't think I had many collared shirts at this point. And, you know, we show up, and her mom is obviously there. Her brother was there. Her grandmother was there. Her grandmother, Brie, was the coolest. Like, I talked to the grandmother for, like, hours on end. We had a great Thanksgiving dinner. We played board games. I want to say she even like got on the piano and like sang a song to us. Like, you guys got to understand, this is the one I would have picked. Like, if I could have picked anyone to meet, it was her. So it's not just like, oh, I met like a famous person who was pretty cool. No, like, it was the girl that like I like, if I was to put a poster up on my room, it would have been of her.
Yeah.
And I'm in her house on Thanksgiving dinner. Like, who does this happen to? It shouldn't be happening to me. The night's coming to an end, you know, dessert comes out, the chocolate chip cookie dough pie was a huge hit, or at least they were very nice to me and allowed me to believe it. You know, they treated me like family, Brie. Like, now, forgetting the part of her being an actress who was in the public eye at that moment, you know, she's still only, her and I are the exact same age. I think she's a few months older than me. I think she had just turned 21. What kind of 21-year-old has like the know-it-all and like the heart to invite basically a stranger? I mean, I was a stranger, and I could tell you for sure, there's definitely no security in any rooms on Thanksgiving. Like, it was her brother, mother, and grandmother and some other friends. Like, I don't know if I would do that at that point anyway. Like, you know, she invited me into her home on one of the biggest family holidays in our country, and she invited two complete and total strangers just because she didn't want us to be alone on Thanksgiving in a new place. Sweet. Like, you know, say what you want about actors, actresses, her, for like, this is not an actor or an actress or a famous person thing. This is a human thing. Mm-hmm. And it just showed me a lot. And the story does get better. I do even maybe say, like, I got, like, at one point, even, like, we all started dancing at some point. I mean, she could sing. She could play the piano. She plays instruments. Like, insanely talented girl. Like, just blown away by her. Now it's not even, like, a, oh, my God, I have, like a star crush on this girl. I'm like, oh, my God, like, this girl's, like, an inspiration. Like, I want to, like, if I make it, I want to do stuff like this for people. Because I knew the feeling that I was having at that moment. So the night ends. Dessert was great. We're, you know, I don't like to linger, so I wanted to make sure we left at just the right time. I didn't want to overstay the welcome. And we're leaving. My roommate's already like halfway out the door, and she comes up to me. She gives me this big hug. She says, "Oh my God, I forgot your birthday's tomorrow. Sorry we didn't get you a birthday cake." She apologized. I'm like, "No, that's not. Don't be silly." But she's like, "You're turning 21, right?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like my 21st, but I mean, granted, at this point, I had been drinking in my life, you know, since I was like 15 years old, but like, I was excited to go have like a legal drink where I could show the bouncer or the bartender my ID and be like, you know, fuck you. I said, you know, me and my roommate are probably going to go, you know, to a bar or to a club, go bar hopping or whatever. She's like, "Right. Okay. So what, you guys will like cab it?" I'm like, "Yeah, probably. I don't know. We'll like figure it out." She said, "Well, can I get you a birthday present?" I said, "No, you don't have to get me anything. You've given me enough." She's like, "No, I want to do this. It'll make me feel better." Like, she said, "I'm going to get you like a car service for tomorrow night to take you wherever you want to go. You can go drink all the drinks and all the land, but this way, you know, no driving." This girl's already preaching drinking and driving at 21 years old. Like, it would just make me feel like, just enjoy it. Like, go out, drink, have fun. And she's like, "Take the car to Vegas if you want." I'm like, "What?" Now, mind you, believe me, I was also doing like an assessment to see if there's any romantic vibes. There was none. Okay. She was not interested in me romantically. That was not where this was coming from. I assure you. I know it may sound like, "Oh, maybe Jennifer Love Hewitt liked you, Jerry." No, she did not. There was no romantic vibes whatsoever. This was just one person doing something nice for the other. So I said, "Listen, I really can't accept that, you know." She said, "Well, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it. So give me your address, or I think she might have said like, "I'm gonna call you tomorrow. Give me your address." And sure enough, the girl called my house the next day, and I gave her my address. And at 9 o'clock at night, a black town car showed up. And again, you guys don't understand. Like, this is the first time. I've been in a lot of town cars since then, but this is like 6 months in, and we get in the town car and we went into Holly. We went to Dublin's and Miyagi's and all the bar spots. Obviously, there was just the two of us, so it was hard for us to get into all these places. We didn't know anyone, but we bounced around, we drank, we flirted with girls. We just had a great night, and we had this guy. I wish I remembered our driver's name, but we had him the whole night. 3 a.m, the car pulls up to our crappy apartment building, and my roommate and I, Jonathan, get out, and we just look at each other and we start hysterically laughing that this was our night. Like, I celebrated my 21st birthday by driving around, going bar hopping in a car that was a gift from Jennifer Love Hewitt. Is that story not amazing?
That's pretty amazing.
Now, I've gone on to since then, you know, shortly, like, I think we maybe spoke on the phone like one other time. I know she had left town to do like 2 or 3 movies, so she was gone for a while. I went 1 year, 2 years with nothing, meaning no contact, and it kind of seemed like that was it. Like, this is where the story ends. And it sort of does to that degree. But I don't know, Bree. I mean, is that, I don't know. Why, maybe I'm overdoing it because it happened to me. I just don't know of many stories like that. And it truly has inspired me that, and I actually, look, I've never invited a stranger over for Thanksgiving dinner, but I really do try. Anyone who loved Entourage and loved Turtle, like, obviously I had my bad days, but similar even like to De Niro and that crew, like, I've always tried to at least be what they wanted me to be, you know, like a nice guy. And that, I think, is where it certainly started. I mean, I think I'm a nice guy by nature, but I just couldn't have been more impressed by a 21-year-old girl who already had such maturity and, like, depth. I don't know.
Are you gonna...
I'm going to give the follow-up, but, like, what do you... Like, any comments on that story? This is now your second time hearing it. I can't believe it took me so long to tell it to you.
I know. It's a great story. I want to know, like, does she remember you? Like, did she ever put it together that...
Well, now this is where...
You're the guy that you're...
This is where life starts to get ironic because, you know, like I said, I went years and years and years without seeing her. Just... I mean, why would I? It's like some people drop into your life and then they drop out. It wasn't like a specific reason why. So if that's in 2000, I got Entourage in 2003. We start getting like nominated for Emmys and stuff. And also I wasn't until probably like 2008. So 8 years later. Now Entourage has been on for 4 years. I've gained 50 pounds. I got facial hair. I'm a different person in 8 years. She's a different woman. She's a woman now. I saw her backstage 1 year. We were presenting at the Emmys. It might have even been closer toward like the end of Entourage, maybe even season 7. We were presenting an award at the Emmys, and she was as well. And she was presenting the award right before us. So, and I want to say she... saw us because it was me, Kevin Connolly, Dylan, Adrian, and she said hello like to Connolly. I think her and Connolly like know each other for years and years and years, and then she kind of like waved at everyone else, and then I saw her and I like literally like stood up and was like, hey, how you do? Like, how are you? And she's like, good. How you doing? And like we kind of smiled at each other, and she walked out. There was like no mention of anything. Like, funny to see you again. Like, this is the place I see you at next. Nothing. Then I don't know, maybe a year after that, I'm walking up to an ATM in like a mini mall one day, and I'm at the ATM. I'm looking around. I'm like, why? There's like paparazzi, like 4 or 5 paparazzos everywhere. And I'm like, well, look, I know they're not here for me. You know, I maybe could attract one. I'm not going to attract like 5. They're not going to be clamoring to see Jerry Ferrara at the ATM of a Vons. But then I look to my left and I see this girl in kind of like a hat pulled down, and like trying to be definitely conspicuous and, or inconspicuous. I don't know what the hell the right word is. And, we were the only two people at the ATM, and the girl looks over at me and I look over at her, and sure enough, it's Jennifer Love Hewitt. And she smiles at me. She says, hi, good to see you. And I'm like, hey, good to see you. And then like, but it was uncomfortable. It was 5 paparazzis around. So I just got my money and I left, and then obviously they were following her. I saw them follow her to her car and all that. So I'm pulling out, and she's pulling out, and she like gives me the roll down your window sign. And she's like, you know, you could have like helped me out there a little bit, like let them see you. You could have took the heat off me. I'm like, ah, they don't want to see me. I think they specifically were here for you. And we laughed and drove away. Now I'm still thinking in my mind, like, shit, does she know I'm the same guy that she invited over 8 years ago? I don't know, because I had changed so much, and so had she. And it was 8 years ago. Uh-huh. I don't remember.
I know
the people I've met 8 years ago, and I'm. It just drives me nuts. I want to say I even saw her maybe once again, and always very pleasant, always like hello. But I'm thinking, like, wouldn't she have mentioned it if she had put two and two together? Wouldn't she have said like, oh hey? And by the way, how would she? I don't even know if she knew my last name when she had me over for Thanksgiving. Like, it really wouldn't be something hard to put together. So I couldn't take it anymore. And a few of my other friends who knew the story, this is like a few years ago, maybe like a year or two ago, encouraged me like, yo, you should reach out to her, because now we want to know if she knows that you're the same guy. And I have never done this in my life. I have never like seeked a person out, but I asked my agent, Brad, to find out who her agent is, and then kindly say that I would like her email address. This is not an attempt to like ask her out on a date. I'm not like being a creeper. Like, I have a funny story that she might be interested in hearing. So got her email address. I wrote her probably one, like an email that is longer than this podcast, saying basically recapping the whole story just the way I did to you all at home listening. And sure enough, she wrote back, of course I remember that. And of course I remember you, Jerry. Like, I'm so glad for all your success. And she said, I can't believe that you remember that story like that and that it really meant as much as it did to you. And we went back and forth on an email for a couple of weeks, you know, just basically, you know, laughing at the fact of how 8 years, 9 years, 10 years later now, we're like I'm talking about it still. And we've always stayed in touch, but I really just wanted to say to her in the email that, you know, you probably didn't realize what you were doing. You just thought you were doing something nice for a young guy that you met, but like, it really did mean something to me. Like, it gave me hope. Like, you hear so many awful stories about Hollywood and actors and actresses and this town sucks. And you know what? A lot of that is true. Most of it's true. Most of it is true. But for my first integration into that world a little bit, like, it was one of the coolest, nicest, most generous, sweetest things anyone's ever done for me to this day. That had no reason to do it. There was zero reason for her to do that other than just doing a nice gesture for someone. So I say to you all at home, if Jennifer Love Hewitt can do it, you can too. And sure enough, because I'm a paranoid son of a bitch, I emailed her, filling her in that I wanted to tell this story on the podcast, and I was going to tell it the way it happened and the way I remember it. Obviously, it's an extremely positive story, so this is not like me looking to throw you under the bus or anything like that. And sure enough, she just wrote back, I still cannot believe that it meant that much to you. It touches me that this story still means that much to you. And go ahead, tell it and let me know when the episode's out. I would love to listen to it and to your podcast. So there's a very good chance that Jennifer Love Hewitt is listening to this right now. And if you are, I just want to say thank you. That was really, really cool. And I've always tried to do cool stuff in my life since then.
And if there's anything you remember differently about the story, feel free to call in.
Yeah, you could. We'd love to have you on this podcast. If you have any discrepancies with the story, I don't really believe that you remember it nearly as well as I do. So I will challenge whatever your discrepancies are. But big thank you from me. And I just wanted to share that with you guys, the audience. I think that was a pretty cool story that not a lot of people know. I always wanted to like tell it on a talk show or something, but it's such a long story that this actually seemed like the perfect outlet for it. I even started writing a script when I was like 22 years old. Like, the first thing I ever wrote, this is before writing for Entourage or anything, like the first thing I ever wrote was, and there's like a script halfway done about this, you know, young starlet. I actually made it so like a guy kind of like accidentally, indirectly saves her from something and then gets invited to her house for Thanksgiving dinner and hijinks ensue. Maybe I'll still write that, Brie.